my story. I came from two parents that smoked, so I guess you could say that nicotine was in my blood from the moment I was conceived. I breathed it in all through my childhood. I remember my brother screaming about the smoke in the cars, taking rides to Missouri and around Kansas and stuff. We used to take some of the drives, me too. I'd bitch that they wouldn't crack the window even. Secondhand smoke. Oh boy, that was tough. And, secondhand smoke. I think secondhand smoke can be as bad or worse than firsthand smoke. And I made it to grade school without smoking. I got into the 7th grade, and for some reason I got with about 4 other girls and decided that we were going to try to smoke some cigarettes. So I stole a pack of cigarettes from my dad. I think that's how we got it. I'm not for sure. It's really kind of cloudy from way back then, but I do remember that me and 4 other girls went out on the football field so we could hide, you know, because we had smoke holes for the 9th graders at our school, but in 7th grade, you weren't allowed to smoke, so we had to go hide out on the football field, and I smoked my first cigarette. I was 14 years old, so I guess that was the 9th grade. 9th grade, yeah. No, it doesn't matter. I was 14. Anyway. Oh my God, man, I smoked that cigarette, and I can remember, I'm an addict, I'm a full-fledged addict. I got caught when I was 3, climbing up on the countertop to get the bare aspirin out of my cabinet that my mom, she kept it way up at the top, and I was trying to get to it at the age of 3 years old, and I can remember nipping on the Vicks Formula 77, Vicks Formula 44, every once in a while, all through my childhood, because of the way it made me feel. So when I smoked that first cigarette, and I got that buzz off that cigarette, I loved it. I loved it. And I didn't cough. It didn't choke me to death. None of that. I got high, and I loved it, and that's what I was after. So we smoked one cigarette, and we went back to class, and the next day, we decided we were going to go do it again. We got together, and I lit that second cigarette, and I didn't get the same result. But by that time, that was it. I was addicted. I was addicted to the cigarettes. After the first cigarette, that was it. That was it. I started smoking cigarettes. I started smoking full force. I started right off at a pack a day. I'd steal them from my dad's glove compartment and smoke Raleighs. And my lunch money when I got into high school, my dad would give us lunch money because he couldn't pay the lunch lady anymore. He had to give me money. I'd spend it on Marlboros, so I smoked those Marlboro 100s, and boy, man, strong cigarettes, I tell you. And I smoked them until I was 21, and when I turned 21, I realized that the cigarettes were already taking its toll. 21 years old. And at 21, I decided I was going to try to quit because I did not like not being able to breathe. It was hindering my breathing. It was hindering me walking up a step of stairs. 21 years old, and I was already like that. And every night I'd go to bed and I'd say, okay, when I wake up in the morning, I'm not going to smoke a cigarette. And that went on for a good 2 or 3 weeks, and then finally, one day, I made it. I didn't smoke that cigarette, and I made it. I rode the bus to school, to work. I worked downtown. I lived in Houston, and at this time, and I bypassed a whole bunch of stuff that I'm gonna have to bypass from my life. I did a lot of things to get cigarettes in my early life, stealing pop bottles, trading even the cartons that the pop bottles came in. You could trade them in for a deposit, and that's how we'd get cigarettes. We'd go out at night and steal pop bottles. And even the carton that the pop bottles, it was little wooden holders that carried the pop bottle. They were worth money too. And we'd steal those off of the back of people's porches, the Coke bottles, and turn them in for the deposit. I was married at that time, and I lived with a husband that made $2 and something an hour. Our rent was $50 a month, and we had to swipe pop bottles and stuff. That's how we got our money for cigarettes. And I had two kids with him, which I ended up losing. I'm going to go back because this is part of my life. I had two boys. I got married when I was 15. I had two boys. One at 16, at the ripe old age of 16. One at the ripe old age of 17. 17 years old, my husband left. I was stuck with two kids. No, I don't want to put it like that. But I love those kids dearly. And I started doing drugs, I started doing speed, and I started smoking 3 packs of Marlboro 100s a day. And it took its toll. By the time I was 21 years old, I couldn't hardly breathe anymore. So I was trying every night when I went to bed, I said to myself, when I wake up in the morning, I'm not going to smoke a cigarette. That's how I tried to stop. Back then, I didn't know what else to do. It scared me because I couldn't hardly breathe then. And every morning, I'd light up a cigarette. And that went on for about 3 weeks. And finally, I made it. I didn't light a cigarette. And I only made it till about 3 o'clock that afternoon. 3 o'clock that afternoon. And I was going nuts. I was going through the withdrawal. I was going through all the things that you guys know that what we go through when we quit smoking cigarettes. So I started smoking again, and I didn't give it another thought. I kept smoking. I got married. I had another baby. 40 years later, I'm still smoking cigarettes. And this time I'm smoking Marlboro Ultra Lights with the idea that if I smoke a lighter cigarette, it's not going to be so hard on my lungs. Right? Okay, not. One day I woke up, and I couldn't breathe anymore. I had to call an ambulance, and they took me to the hospital, and the doctor said, you have the beginning of emphysema. She said, if you stop now, you may still have a chance. He wrote me a prescription for medicine called Combivent. A real expensive prescription, I might add. And I got back in my car and I lit a cigarette and I went and filled that prescription and I kept smoking. And I gave it a lot of thought. And my emphysema started getting worse. Through the next 3 years, by the time 3 years had gone by, this is what it was like. I told you how I got there, and this is what it turned into. Every morning when I woke up, I could barely make it to my couch. I was breathless. I would sit there and cough phlegm out of my lungs. You would not believe it. It was nasty. I kept this little, it was from the hospital, one of those little pink things that they always give you when you go to the hospital, right there on the coffee table, and I'd spit that stuff out. It was like I had pneumonia every morning when I woke up. And then I would do my inhaler, and I would start smoking a cigarette. I'd sit there and smoke cigarettes and drink coffee, and all day long, I'd smoke cigarettes, do my inhaler, and drink coffee, and sit there and think to myself, I've got to quit smoking. And the insanity started setting in. Oh my God, the insanity of wanting to quit. Not, I didn't want to quit, but I knew I had to quit. I did not want to quit. I didn't want to let go of my friend. I wanted to keep smoking cigarettes. I didn't want to let go. I just didn't want to. But I was going to die. I was dying. I was truly dying. I kept going to the hospital. It got to one year I was in the hospital 6 different times. One time I had an anxiety attack so bad because this was the second time I went to the hospital. The first time it was from an anxiety attack because I couldn't breathe, and that's when I found out I had the emphysema. The second time I was so embarrassed about going to the hospital with an anxiety attack that I was afraid to go to the hospital, and I ended up having pneumonia. I had an anxiety attack so bad that it gave me a heart attack, and the ambulance people came in. I was sitting on the toilet because these anxiety attacks that I'd had, I'd lose total control of my whole body, pee and all. I'd pee all over myself. I couldn't move. I was totally powerless over my body. It was like I could not do anything. I couldn't move, nothing. And it was like they couldn't even hardly get me off the toilet stool. And I was having that heart attack. I was going, man, my heart, there's something going, my heart was going real fast. And they said it was V-fib or whatever you call it. Anyway, they took me to the hospital, and I was still panicking so bad. They put me on the ventilator, and they told my husband I was out after that. They gave me a shock that numbed me. That scared me so bad it wasn't even funny because I couldn't move my fingers. I couldn't close my eyes. I had no power over my body, and I was wide awake and scary. It was scary, that shot. That shot scared the hell out of me because it totally made me numb. It was like I was paralyzed from head to toe. And they put that vent down my throat. And the only thing I can remember for the next 10 days is that machine that was breathing for me, breathing in and out, in and out. I know I said something to Anne one day. I heard her machine, she had her, I've got one of those now too, because I could hear that going off, and it reminded me of that day, of that time when I was in the hospital. It was horrible. They had me tied, they had my feet tied to the bed, they had my hands tied to the bed because they were afraid I was going to pull the vent out of my mouth, and I did reach up there. I wanted to feel it. All I wanted to do was feel it. And they were afraid I was going to pull it out, so they tied me down. And they kept me knocked out, and they told my husband and my son. They didn't know. whether I was going to live or die. They truly didn't know whether I was going to make it or not. 10 days later, they woke me up. They said, "You think you can handle breathing?" And I said, "I can try." I shook my head, and they pulled the vent out, and a bunch of stuff came out, and I couldn't talk. I couldn't say a word, because the vent had been down there so long. And that scared the holy hell out of me, too. Anyway, getting on with the story. That, I recuperated. It took me five days. I was still in ICU for about 3 days after that, and then they put me into the hospital for 5 days after that, and I went home. And I went home, and I tell you what, I got a whiff of an ashtray, and I got mad because my husband messed my computer up. I was mad, and I caught that whiff of that ashtray, and I said, "Give me a cigarette." I wanted a cigarette, and I started smoking again. That's how bad my addiction was. It was totally ridiculous. It had me so hard. It wouldn't let go. And I was still in the, I don't want to quit, but now I'm thinking, I gotta quit. I've got to quit after this. I kept smoking for 3 more years after that. And every morning, I told you what that was like. Every morning, I'd get up, and I would cough all that stuff out and smoke cigarettes and do my, and by this time, I was on breathing treatments and use my inhaler, and I couldn't hardly walk anywhere. My lungs wouldn't function. The only way I could, only thing I could do was sit, and I said, I've got to do something about this. I didn't know what to do. I was praying for a rehab for, I know some of you have heard this before, I was praying for a rehab for nicotine addiction. I was. And I put nicotine addiction into the computer and found Nicotine Anonymous. I couldn't even believe it because I've been in the program. I said, "Oh my God." And so I posted on the board on nicotineanonymous.org. And one of the members in this group answered me. It took a couple of days, but I was going to the store to buy a couple of packs of cigarettes. By this time, I was buying 2 packs at a time because they were only $10.50, a little bit cheaper than $12 or $13. $10.50 if you buy 2 packs. And anyway, I could smoke. I was going 1.5 pack a day. Anyway, I could not come off that 1.5 pack. By the grace of God, Gary called me from this room, from this program. He called me, and he talked to me, and I went ahead and bought my cigarettes, but he said, "Call me when you get home, and I'll help you out." He said, "I know our program." And he sat there and helped me download Pal Talk, and I came into this program. And it surprised me when I first came here. They said, "You can smoke all you want. Take as long as you need to. Just keep coming to the meetings." That was one of the main things. Keep coming back to the meetings. Keep coming to the meetings. Keep coming to the meetings. So I started going to every meeting that they had. And I'd get a quit. And sometimes I might get 2 or 3 quits in one day. And I downloaded that quit meter. And I'd reset it, even if it was 3 times in one day, I'd reset it. One day I got 2 whole days. 2 whole days. Wow. I felt like dancing a jig. I did. I made it 2 whole days without cigarettes. And that was because I was in this program. That was a milestone for me. And it gave me an inkling of what this program to do for me. And I started listening to people, and I started learning, and I started listening, and the promises said, Well, you know what the promises say. All the stuff that we go through, the anger and the resentments and the all the stuff that we go through, all the reasons why I started learning about all the reasons why I smoked. I smoked out of anger. I learned that my cigarettes were my best friend. I learned that I needed to. I have a lot to learn. That's what I learned. I learned that I had a lot to learn, and I better keep coming to these meetings and start reading some of this stuff. It's, they had free. They had those free pamphlets on nicotineanonymous.org. I started reading some of those. I had my big book. I've used that, and I had to be honest with you. I used my big book. That helped, and because I didn't have the money to get my books yet. I finally did get my money, and I got all my books, but that took about 2 months. So all I had the first 2 months was my big book and the free literature on nicotineanonymous.org and this right here, my serenity prayer, my serenity prayer for nicotine users, and the 5 D's, and I remembered my halts, and my program started coming back to me, because I've been in the program, in the other program, many, many years. And everything started hitting me in the face, and things started coming back, and I started remembering words and thinking about what things to do, like call your sponsor every day, call your sponsor before you use. I didn't listen to that one very long. I'd call my sponsor after I'd smoke a cigarette, and I'd call my sponsor and say, I smoked again, and he'd say, you're supposed to call me before you quit. Well, that rang through my head so many times that one day I finally called. I was out, and my halts were kicking in. I was angry. I was out trying to do some pay bills, and I had 3 or 4 stores to go to, and by the time I came out of AT&T, I was so angry. I got that steering wheel in my hand, all my triggers. I was learning my triggers. My sponsor taught me to get rid of all my visual triggers. He taught me to empty the ashtray. I learned the hard way, get rid of the ashtrays. Those stinky ashtrays will make you smoke a cigarette, trust me. They will. A dirty trash can that you've been dumping your cigarettes in will make you smoke a cigarette. It will. You catch a whiff of that, and it just puts it in your brain. Your brain goes, nicotine, yes, gimme, gimme, gimme. And you relapse. In my mind, this is what I know, you relapse before you relapse. You already have relapsed before you ever put the cigarette in your mouth. That's what I know. And I learned one of my worst triggers was anger and resentments. I think that's why, that's what step 4 is all about. To work on that. Work on your anger and your resentments and your, all your step 4, maybe searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. The chaos in my lives. I had to admit that I was powerless. I had to start with step 1 before I even came into the program. I knew that. I knew the steps. I already knew these steps when I came in here. I had to admit that I was powerless over my nicotine. And that my life was completely and totally unmanageable. And man, you want to talk about unmanageability, you don't want to go where I was. Because I was as bad, as sick as anybody that I have ever seen from cigarettes. It was a shame. It was people were going, Kim, I cannot believe you still are smoking. I can't believe you're still putting the cigarettes away. I kept smoking. I was coughing up tons of fluid out of my lungs every day. I was dying. I was killing myself. And the insanity, oh my God, the insanity started setting in. Because it was like this. I didn't want to quit smoking, but I knew I had to. And the insanity was about to drive me nuts. It was about to drive me nuts. And I came into this program, and I kept relapsing. I reset my quit meter 1,000 times. I finally got that 2-week quit. That's when I finally called my sponsor before I smoked. I finally did it. That was the day when I went to that AT&T store, and I got in the car, and I got that steering wheel in my hands, and that was one of my triggers. Get in the car, turn the car on, light a cigarette, and go. I wanted a cigarette. So I called my sponsor, and I said, Gary, I need help. I need a cigarette real bad. I said, the other program, candy helped a lot. Sugar, we need sugar. Which was one of my first addictions, I might add. I've gone back into my old addictions now. Sugar helps. It does. So get me to the store and get me some sugar and get me home, please. He talked me all the way to the store and he got me back home and I got into a meeting. And I, from that day on, I had 2 weeks at that time, and I quit. I never went back. I came to every single meeting for a year, and listened and learned and shared and ranted and raved and pity-potted and cried, and I woke up crying, and my emotions, and I thought you guys were going to think I really thought y'all were going to think I'm crazy. I did. I thought you guys were going to think I was a bipolar, not to say anything against anybody that may be bipolar in this program, but I was afraid you guys were going to think I was bipolar because of the mood swings that I was having. The mood swings were crazy. My brain was going crazy with the withdrawal from the nicotine, and on top of that, I was trying to quit my other addiction. On top of that, my brain was really going crazy. I was going nuts. I truly was. I was having such a hard time. I kept coming to the meetings, and I was reading the literature. I was trying to educate myself. I knew education was one of the best things that I could do to learn how not to smoke. And I read them, and I learned to use my serenity prayer for nicotine users. I used the suggestions of this program to learn how to quit smoking. I took those suggestions, and I used them as tools to quit smoking in this program. I just followed the suggestions. It was a simple program. That's what they say. It's a simple program. Just follow the suggestions that we offer, and you can't hardly fail. Well, I did that. Now, I'm a lazy type. That's one of my character defects. And I don't like to read, but I started reading, and I hated it. But I read, and I learned the reasons why I smoked. And one of them was to cover up feelings. One of them was because, every time I got angry, I'd smoke a cigarette. I guess it set off endorphins in my brain. I'd get angry and I'd smoke a cigarette. If I was sad, when my son died, I powered down on those cigarettes. I lost my son 4 years ago, by the way. I was going through that, too. So I was really having a hard time. And on top of that, I had a cocaine addiction that I was trying to quit, too. I did it vice versa. I was supposed to quit the coke first before the cigarettes, but I knew that I had to get rid of those cigarettes. They were killing me. So I came in here And I got two sponsors. One wasn't enough for me. Because my first sponsor, first of all, he didn't get out of bed. He was in California time, and I couldn't get a hold of him until 12 or 1 o'clock. And I needed sponsors before that. I learned to get up. I didn't want to let go of my coffee. I had coffee and cigarettes every morning. I didn't do breakfast. I did coffee and cigarettes. I learned to do coffee in a meeting. And then I'd call my sponsor. And then I'd eat. And then I'd have a meeting. Because I always, in my lunchtime cigarette, I always smoked two. Because that's my big meal. I'd have my lunch, and then I'd have a 2 o'clock meeting. And then if there wasn't a 2 o'clock meeting, I had to find things to do on the website. I had to listen to shares. I read. I finally got my Nicotine Anonymous book. Somebody loaned me some money from this program to get my books. Y'all helped me out a lot. Y'all, between y'all and my higher power, and I wasn't even dependent on my higher power very much at the time. It was basically you guys and this program and coming to these meetings and the tools of this program that helped me quit cigarettes. And that's how I did it. I listened to you guys, and I started on my 30 days. I did the questions out of the middle of that book. I'd sat there, and once I got started, I didn't quit, and I was chomping at the bit. And I see that it's 8:54, so I'm going to start wrapping this up. I did those questions. I'm on step 5 now. Pretty rough road to hoe. I quit coke. I did that. And the best tools that I found was my serenity prayer. 2 months after I quit, I have to say that the insanity was still so deep in me that I finally got down on my knees. And I have this prayer book that says, my heart kneels on bended. It's called When My Heart Kneels To, is what it's called. And it basically is praying to God with your whole heart and seriously and totally, honestly meaning it. And that's what happened to me. That's what helped me. I got down on my knees and I prayed to God and I said, God, I cannot stand. It was the insanity. I couldn't stand the insanity any longer. I said, you take this addiction away from me. I'm giving my addiction to you. I'm giving my cigarette addiction to you. I can't stand it anymore. Please take it away from me. And I was relieved of the insanity. And I started chairing meetings. I knew that I had to give back to the program. That was important. Giving back to the program. That's what I do now. I had a sponsor. And I chair meetings, and I try to do the right thing. That's what I try to do. Like yesterday, I spent 5 hours on Skype with somebody to help them stay off of, to keep them from smoking and drinking. That's what I spent my day doing yesterday. So that's y'all. That's what I do. That's all I can do now. I don't have any lungs anymore. I'm on oxygen. And I can barely... I got a wheelchair now. I'm trying to avoid being completely in the wheelchair. It's pretty tough. My life is hard. My husband does everything for me. He cooks, he cleans, he washes my clothes, changes my bed, and cooks for me. And keep my dog clean because she brings in allergies, and that's about it. I pray a lot, and I still have I got my new sponsor. I'm working my steps and I better start wrapping it up. Sponsorship is really, really important. I believe that with my whole heart that I had to. It was hard in the other program reaching out to ask somebody to help me. I had to really suck it up to reach out and ask somebody to help me. But that's where I learned to reach out and ask somebody. So when I came here, it was a little bit easier. There was some good things that happened in the other program that I had a head start in. So, like, things like that. Because I know there are people in here that probably want to sponsor and they're afraid to ask. I've been there. It's scary. You suck it up and you ask. And that's really, if you have any more questions, I can tell you some more stuff afterwards on how I did this. There's some things that I can't say in this room during this meeting. And I appreciate y'all coming and listening to me tonight. I've been nicotine free. Oh, I forgot to share that part of it. The best part. There you go. My name is Kim, and I'm a nicotine addict. And I've been quit for 2 years, 7 months, 3 weeks, 1 day, 19 hours, 4 minutes, and 24 seconds. That's 965 straight days in a row without nicotine, all because of you guys, who I consider my family now, my higher power, whom I choose to call God, the literature, the tools of this program, everything that I've learned in here, and that's by not smoking 28,973 cigarettes, and that 3 months, it saved my life. It saved my life, and I might be able to see my grandchild grow up now because of this program. And I thank you for letting me share tonight. Thank you very much. Y'all have a great night.